The potential of a colossal miscarriage of justice and what to do about it is the focus of a meeting today between the state's 11 district attorneys and Massachusetts state officials. At issue, the mishandling of tens of thousands of drug samples at a state crime lab. State police shut the lab down and are investigating breaches of protocol in some 35,000 samples worked on by one chemist. In a letter to Governor Patrick, the state's district attorneys say their primary concern is ensuring that justice is done. Michael O'Keefe is the DA for the Cape and the Islands.
Our concern is the defendant who potentially did not receive a fair trial because of what may be tainted evidence from this laboratory. That's what we're focusing on at the moment so that we can clean up a mess that's not of our making.
In their letter to the governor, O'Keefe and his fellow DAs asked for a full list of incarcerated defendants and for all information about the breaches of protocol at the crime lab. Joining us now is Ed Ryan. He's a defense attorney and former president of the Massachusetts Bar Association. And Ed, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
So we just heard DA Michael O'Keefe talking about a real mess and the potential for a major miscarriage of justice. Is that the way that you'd describe this?
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's not a potential for a miscarriage of justice. What we're witnessing is a miscarriage of justice that needs to be corrected.
And how do we go about that?
Well, the first order of business is to identify any case in which Dukin was involved in any way, shape, or manner.
And just to help our listeners there, Dukin, that's Annie Dukin. She's the chemist who allegedly mishandled these many, many crime samples.
That's right. And I'm told now that there are, you know, somewhere there are estimates of 35,000 to 60,000 potential samples or cases that might be involved in this matter. And people could have gone to jail because she fudged on the weights. You know, in this state, weight drives certain minimum mandatory sentences, so that if she fudged the weight by as little as a couple of grams, somebody may be doing 5 years in jail when otherwise they wouldn't be in jail at all.
Well, let me ask you about Annie Dukin. She's the one who allegedly breached the protocols on, as you said, something like 30-something thousand cases. So she's probably in the best position to know what she did. So how should investigators deal with her?
Well, quite frankly, she is in the best position to know what she did. She's probably also in the best position to know whether or not there are any others that are complicit in this kind of activity. I think investigators need to talk with her. If she refuses to talk to them, I think, quite properly, investigating authorities should consider a grant of immunity.
Well, then I have to ask you, granting her immunity, doesn't that raise the question of, is this justice if we're letting her get away with something like that?
Well, given the injustice of wrongfully convicted people,
mm-hmm.
I think the greater good to be achieved in terms of justice is to bring to light all of her malfeasance. We have hundreds, if not thousands, of innocent people, or people who were wrongfully convicted, or people who are doing more time than they should have been doing as a result of this woman's perjured work. I think it behooves everybody to get to the bottom of it. She's the best source, at least initially. I mean, after all, if we can give immunity to somebody like Sammy the Bull Gravano to get John Gotti, and so I think that the authorities need to consider giving her a grant of immunity. The other thing I think that needs to be done immediately is that the district attorneys and the state police need to involve both the federal public defender and the Committee for Public Counsel Services. They need a seat at this table. This investigation should not be conducted solely by law enforcement.
Why not?
Well, defense lawyers are in a position to, once they begin acquiring some information as to exactly what she did, they can begin to help in the process of identifying cases.
Mm.
Because, quite frankly, they've represented, by and large, most of these defendants. And on the federal side, a number of federal defendants could have had their sentences enhanced because of prior state convictions that this woman was involved in. And all of this is an open question. So I think more than just law enforcement needs to be at the table.
Speaking of an open question, we mentioned that letter from the state's 11 DAs to Governor Patrick, and in it they've asked for a complete accounting of all the defendants who are currently incarcerated. In other words, we don't even know who or how many people were sent to jail as a result of all of this. But I guess we're talking about tens of thousands of cases here. How do we unravel this mess? How do we even begin to figure out what cases we're talking about?
Well, basically one at a time. And I think that you have to begin with Dukin.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, I mean, she's got a right to remain silent if there's potential criminal involvement here, and of course there is, at least obstruction of justice at the very least, swearing falsely in court. I mean, this woman actually testified under oath in other cases.
Ed Ryan, you're a defense attorney, of course. Does all of this affect any of your clients? Do you even know that for sure yet?
Well, we've started a search of our files in drug cases that I can identify. You know, I haven't found any yet. I've been looking mostly at my federal cases to determine whether or not any federal defendant, any of the drugs in the direct federal case involved any Dukin. Now, I have no way of knowing from my own file whether or not state convictions in those federal cases involved any Dukin.
I see. In the meantime, with the state crime lab in Boston shut down, thousands of samples of evidence are backlogged. That is, they can't be worked on. In the letter from the DAs, they suggest they should be tested in the state police crime lab. Is that a good solution? Do you have concerns about that?
Yes, I do. I am very concerned about that. I do not think that law enforcement should be in charge of the forensic and scientific testing that goes on across the spectrum of criminal cases, and this would include drugs, DNA, and autopsies, for example, the medical examiner's office. There should be a single state agency that is independent, not beholden to the police, not operating at their direction, that should be an independent, neutral body of scientists operating under rigid protocols with some checks and balances. We don't have that here in the Commonwealth, and I am very concerned it's the cat watching the chicken coop.
Mm.
I mean, I don't like that. Now, I know the Department of Public Health,
which ran the state crime lab, right?
Was running the crime lab here. UMass has a separate crime lab that I think some of the drugs from Worcester County and other places go to. But I do think that this is an opportunity here to correct an injustice, but more importantly, to ramp up the technology and what we need to do in terms of forensic science in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I mean, we have over the past decade heard horrendous stories coming out of the medical examiner's office, lost bodies, perjured testimony, false testimony, wrong testimony. I think the time has come for the governor to appoint a task force to determine whether or not all of this forensic evidence, the analysis of all forensic evidence in criminal cases, should be handled by an independent, a state agency made up of scientists and qualified medical practitioners.
Ed Ryan, he's a defense attorney and the former president of the Massachusetts Bar Association. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're very grateful.
My pleasure, Anthony.
And as you heard Anthony say, this is a case that could affect more than 34,000 samples. Let us know what you think about the crime lab story at our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Radio Boston. And stick with us because coming up, placebo's evil twin, the nocebo. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.